The first reading this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The second lesson for today is from Corinthians chapter 13, passages 1 through 13. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, as we prophesy, only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. And of these three, the greatest is love.
I have a confession to make. I titled this sermon on Tuesday before I wrote it. And I thought I was going to talk about the Jeremiah passage, but I'm not. So, it says trust him in the bulletin, which is a good message. We should all do that. But I will be talking mostly about love today. And I'm not so confident that I don't need a script. So that's what this is. In Sunday school, we used to spend time trying to learn the Ten Commandments. We tried our hardest to stuff our tiny brains with, you shall honor your father and mother, and you shall not lie. Strangely, those were the two our parents really wanted us to learn. But Vanessa, our choir teacher, taught me, like she was the one that taught me, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It made no sense to me. That's selfish, I thought in my little self-assured voice. That doesn't apply to me. That's not how the Ten Commandments work, but that's the one I don't like. We spend our entire religious lives hearing that we should come last. Serve others, give of your time, lay yourselves down for the person behind you. Love others freely. Serve, give, sacrifice, love freely. The very last thing we want to be called is selfish. That's like an F on the report card of Christianity. Love your neighbors as yourself. I'm not that selfish. We try to love others more than ourselves. Try to show love by giving our time, cooking good food, sharing our wealth. We're not supposed to do these things for ourselves because that's selfish. Being wholly selfish is a bad thing, just like being wholly selfless is a bad thing. Using up all of our energy so we have nothing for ourselves, that's bad. You deserve love for you. You deserve to see yourself the way God sees you. Flawed, sure, but deserving. God worked hard on you. God is proud of you, the way you're proud of your children, your friends, your family members. God's love has no barriers. God doesn't know barriers. There is so much love to go around, and you deserve that for yourselves. God puts so much love and our human hearts and brains and bodies, we're just overflowing with it. That's how you should see yourselves. That's what you should see when you look in the mirror. But, I hear you saying, but when I look in the mirror, but when I look at my neighbor, but I'm not good enough, but there's so much to fix. Yeah, there's a lot to fix about ourselves. So what? Things that need fixing aren't automatically disqualified from having love. That's not how it works. It's not that neat. You deserve love for yourselves. I don't make the rules, those are just the facts. You can't love others freely if you don't love yourselves. You can love dogs and cats and food and nice furniture and good music and woodworking and hiking. You can love all of those things. But you can't love others if you don't love yourselves. Moms right now might be thinking that I'm crazy, but I promise it's true. There's always going to be some block, some height that you can't climb if you don't love yourselves. That's the foundation, the cornerstone. Love isn't finite. It can't be spread too thin over all the people. There's so much of it. There's so much of it from tiny things like ladybugs, to the Milky Way galaxy, to supernovas, all the way back down to tiny little fingernails. Have you ever seen babies' fingernails? That's the expanse of love in each of us, small and large and larger and largest. Just like language and faith are useless without love, our love can be useless for others if we don't have it for ourselves. Christians extend hands outward toward other people, to those in need. You're in need. You're deserving. Extend a hand inward. Ignore the voice that's telling you, there's not enough time. It's too selfish. I'm too busy. You are not too busy to take care of yourselves. Find love for every scar and flaw and long day and the bills aren't paid and I'm not showered and I'm too tired. All of those versions of yourself deserve love just as much as the made up bills are paid, my boss was in a good mood, I'm well rested version of yourself. You deserve love every day of the week just as much as the perfect Sunday version of yourself. God loves you in a way that's too big for human vocabulary. And that's how he calls you to love others. Not in a finite way. Not by cooking good food or sharing your wealth. God has high standards for us because we're capable. Because we can do it. Don't love your children only when they behave. Don't love your neighbor only when they invite you over for coffee. Don't love your coworker only before you find out they're gay. Don't love God only when you're not struggling. Love has no ceiling. It shouldn't have conditions. It's easy to see others and judge. It's easy to see ourselves and judge. Loving doesn't always come so readily for us or for others. We're going to struggle, and we do not want to. But God doesn't promise us a life without struggles or a life without comfort. He promises us company in our discomfort, a steady hand, a guiding force. He will love us. He will love you. You must take that love and nurture it. Then you can give it with reckless abandon to every person and object and creature. God has imbued his creations with so much love. And we do the same. I feel like I've been inching dangerously close to the unspoken topic when we talk about love. Sexuality. The modern conflict of Christianity. People ask, how can our faith move forward? The faith isn't moving. The faith stays the same. Only we can choose to meet it. God didn't stutter when he said, love your neighbor. The greatest of these is love. Stop. Love your neighbor. Stop. Love like God. Stop. Some of you might guess where I'm going with this, so please bear with me. You deserve all the love that I have to give you. And you deserve all my honesty. Like Vanessa taught me in Sunday school, you shall not lie. Plus the lesser known, you shall not lie by omission. I have struggled to love myself. I'm a teenage girl. It's expected. I am so small and so young. But God worked hard on me, and I owe it to myself to love who I am. I'm a gay woman in 2019. More specifically, I'm a bisexual woman in 2019. I love men. I love women. I'm just me with more love to give, twice the amount of love to give. And it feels strange to say it in a place like this, where we're told all of our lives that we must never hear it, that it doesn't step into sanctuaries like this. But I'm still me. I still love lots of people. And I know that lots of people love me. That's what we are. That's all we are. Pure, unadulterated love. God made me who I am, and he didn't make a mistake, even though sometimes it really feels like it. Not with me, not with you, not with your friends, or your family, or your colleagues, or your coworkers, or your neighbors. A mistake. God doesn't know the word. None of you are mistakes. None of you are accidents. What you see as flaws when you look in the mirror are not accidents. God doesn't want you to cut little pieces of yourself away so that you seem lovable to him and to others and to yourself. You're already lovable. God loves you. Every single part of you, even on the days when you think no one could and no one should. That love that you learned to have for others in Sunday school, that special, limitless, God-like, Christian kind of love, you can keep some of that for yourselves. You must keep some of that for yourselves. Build your foundation. Cherish love for yourself and others, and good music, and nice furniture, and woodworking, and hiking. And it will be free. You can give it freely. Love your neighbors as yourself. The greatest of these is love. Your Sunday school teachers would be proud.